What I have for tonight in these family studies, maybe each one has taken a little different angle. Maybe it's children, maybe it's wives. It takes all of it to make a whole. Tonight I have an angle that I feel the Lord wants me to share. First time I had gotten up here, I mentioned about having a comfort zone, and that comfort zone was stretched. Well, as the Lord's been dealing with me about this, tonight my comfort zone is stretched like a rubber band. And yet I say, Lord, I'm willing. I'd like to start out first by saying I'm a marriage advocate. I'm all for marriage. And I got some verses to back it up. I'd like for us to look at Proverbs 18 and 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. As my boys were growing up, getting close to that time, this was the verse I'd give them. There's nothing in me to tell them, boys, it's not worth it. My advice to them was, if the Lord's in it, go for it. Got another verse. When God created Adam, he had a reason that he created a wife for him. He didn't look down at Adam and say, Adam, you've been working way too hard. You need a servant. I'm gonna make you a slave to cut down on your workload. In the second chapter of Genesis, in the 18th verse, and the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. Somebody to stand by his side. Somebody to help him in the tough times. Somebody sometime to be able to say, hey, I wouldn't do that if I was you. It's going to cost you. He created a helpmeet for him. Having said that, and looking at these family studies and the Lord dealing with me, after 30 years, I think of the saying, you've heard it before, if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it all over again. Well, I want to add a little something to that. There's some things I'd make some adjustments on. There's some things I would leave out. And tonight, how I would like to present this is to those that have just gotten married. Michael, listen up. No. To the young families, those that don't have 30 years, I'd like to be able to do a little sharing with you tonight. I got some things that I think I could tell you, boy, I'd do that all over again. It's worked well in my life. And then I wish I could sit down. Because I got some other things I'd like to say, wouldn't do that. You're going to waste some days if you do that. There's a verse of a song that says, but God in His mercy has let me return. To share with his children some lessons I've learned. There are many people tonight that never got to return. I appreciate the Lord's dealings in my life, showing me places of changes that needed to be made. There's a verse that is probably one of the toughest verses in the Bible. It says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. I wish I could tell you, tonight is a study on marriage. Wish I could tell you, I got some advice for you. Never made a mistake. I'd like to pass it along to you. But I can't do that, because next Sunday I have to come back and tell you, I'm sorry, I told you a big story. Made some mistakes. made some blunders. But I want to thank God tonight that he let me return and take care of them. And I want to tell you the rest of the story before we get through. I read a story, and you may know it better than I do. An old man in this path, maybe close to his home, dangerous place there. Through his life, he's made it, though. But now he's coming down close to the end of his life. He starts building a bridge over that area. Somebody comes to him and says, "Why are you doing it? You're not even going to be here long to enjoy that protection." He said, "I'm doing it because there's going to be others coming along behind. I want to steer them around that difficulty. Don't want to have them having the same trouble that I went through." Those that are married tonight, I'd like for us to go back on a little trip in our memory. You remember the courting days? I'd do anything to please her. I'm always on my best behavior. Everything is answered with yes, yes. I never woke up on the wrong side of the bed. No request was too great. I'd love to do that and more. Then came the wedding day. And the vows. This was mine. "You, Dan, take Cheryl to be your wife. To live after God's ordinance and the holy bond of marriage, will you promise in the presence of God and before these witnesses to love her, comfort her, honor, and cherish her in sickness and in health, prosperity and in adversity, forsaking all others, remain faithful to her as long as you both shall live?" My answer to that was, I'd do that and a whole lot more. That was my goal. Got married, making $3.50 an hour. Rent was $175 a month. What, you know, you do the math for that, there wasn't much left. But we were as happy as could be. Went out and bought us 2 bicycles. We'd ride them down to the grocery store. The adventure bringing everything back, trying to get it all back, to us it was fun. Pleasant times. How could it ever be different? Looked like it'd be that way from then on. I thought about this, thinking about the bicycles. As you can tell, somewhere along the way we got rid of them and started riding in the car. But I think about those happy times. Looks like they would never end. How could they ever end? I made those vows. I made those promises. My only desire was to make her happy. And sorry to say, something was allowed to come in sometimes. It would cause that happiness to leave. Never planned on when we're going together. My only desire was that she'd be happy. We can blame a lot of things on the devil. We can say the devil is out to ruin marriages. The devil has got to have an avenue, and we've got to provide that avenue. That avenue, I believe tonight, is self. Maybe it wasn't all the time. Maybe it was just, compared to life, it was just a few days. But life's too short to waste any of them. I appreciate how the Bible's written. God allowed it to be written to show the good, the bad. Instead of showing Christianity as there's never a failure, he showed Peter, when he had that determination, "I'm going with you all the way." He showed where Christ said, "I'm praying for you. After you're converted, strengthen the brethren. I see what's going to happen." And he went ahead and showed after Peter returned. He showed it all. He wrote some letters, Jesus did, to the churches. In those letters, He gave them some commendation. He said, there's some things that you're doing good. Then he followed them up with some reprimands. To me, I believe tonight he's spoken to me. I want you to share it in the same way. My desire tonight is to share it with those that have just gotten married, those that may get married in the future. To the men tonight, I'd like to talk. I'd like to show you some things that I would highly recommend you put in your life. It's worked well in our home. With those things, I want to also be willing to say, here's some things that's going to waste some days. Strengths. Before we got married, I made a decision. I'm going to be the sole provider for the income of our home. I want my wife to be able to stay home. I want her to be able to raise the children. I want her to be able to be there with them. To do that, there's some sacrifices have to be made. First of all, I'm going to have to be willing, if I need to, I'll work two jobs. I'll do whatever has to be made. I have to realize the value of it. Enough to the point that I'll sacrifice some of the things that others may be able to have. The world today has a lot of glitter to show. Shows what you can get if both will get out there and get after it. But it's kind of like some of these signs that show a smoking advertisement. Looks great, but I've never seen one beside it showing that person dying in the hospital with lung cancer. The same thing with a man and wife both working. We don't see the effect that it can have on children. So in the strengths, I'd like to say I'd do this all over again. Needs to have a balance. Because I remember right at the first, I went after it. Maybe taking on too much. Because I want to pay down bills. There's something for us to remember, and I'd like to pass it along. As your children are growing up, they really don't care how much money you're making. You'd be surprised with how little it takes for them to be happy. For that father to be home in an evening and just go out in the yard and throw the ball. So that was an area that the Lord had to work on me with. There are some scriptures that I'd like to share. One of them, after I made that decision and for these years, it's been an alarm clock for me. It's 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. As I read that verse, and this is just for me, tonight this is my testimony. That acted as an alarm clock. I'm getting out of this bed. I'm going to provide. There's another one in Genesis. When the Lord gave a command for Adam in the 3rd chapter, the 19th verse, says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. He didn't say the sweat of your wife's face, but from the sweat of my own work is how the bread will be provided. Titus 2:5, an area there says, for the wives to be a keeper at home. For that to happen, I'm going to have to set some values in my life as the man and say, I'll be the one to make that happen. To me, what my desire is tonight, for those of you coming along that may be married one day, those of you that have just gotten married, I'd like to give this to you as a plus. Put it in your life and you'll reap some benefits. It's been a great satisfaction to me. I drive down to work in the wintertime, coming up to my building, and seeing women of all ages heading to work. It brings a lot of satisfaction to me that my wife can stay home, take care of the children. It will to you too. Another thing the Lord put in the positive category, and we'll get to the others here in a little bit, the negatives. I've always, from the beginning, loved to spend my spare time with my family. Didn't ever have a desire to go after work, spend it with friends, or run with the boys. Now, I wrote down here, never did have a problem with that. Now, I might spend 6 weeks away from home working on the family units, but I never did run with the boys. Everything is going to have a balance. But in this, I'd like to say that even with that, that happened recently, Cheryl supported me in that. Through my life, I've built into it, and I'd like to recommend to those tonight, cultivate a desire. When I get off work, there's nothing more important than my family at home. My children are growing up. They're going to soon be gone. There's one other area I'd like to mention. With one income, the money's sometimes tight. Seems like there's none left over for my wants. We're spending it all on my needs. Then maybe I'm able to go out and I pick up a little side job and make some extra money. There's something I've tried to put in my life, and it's brought some rewards, is I don't take that as being my money. I'd like for Cheryl to know, even though she's at home and there's not a paycheck coming in, we're both contributing to the income that comes in. Should I make some extra? Should I pick up $100? I don't take that out and say I work for it. It's mine. We split it. Because my wife has wants too. And you know, probably when I first started out, I'd have given it all to her back there when we were going together. So I don't ever want to get to the place, and the Lord is blessed in those areas. I want her to feel that my job and hers are equal. Tonight, I wish I could say, I'm through now. Y'all go work on that. But just like in Revelations, the reproof is usually longer than the recommendations, the commendations. So in my case, there are some things that I'd like to pass along to you tonight. A few things. If I had it to do all over again, I'd do it different. There's a verse in Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I remember when we were first married, living in Oklahoma City. Probably didn't have enough money to be going back and forth much anyhow, so we bonded together. We moved to Tulsa. And about that time, some of you may remember back then, there was a lumber company, Sutherland Lumber Company, selling house packages. You could buy a house package, you pour the floor, and they give you everything to be able to move in. They give you carpet, they give you doorknobs, they give you everything but the labor. Mom and Dad bought that, and we started going up every weekend to help them on it. And Cheryl was in full support of that. Something happened in that time that when we finished, somehow I had reattached the apron strings. I can justify it. I can say my parents were handicapped. They need help. But I'll tell you, what it left was, when I kept on putting them first, it left Cheryl wondering who was number one in my life. I want to tell you, there's a balance here. I want to encourage each one of you to find it. There is a place that both can be taken care of without any problem, and it be balanced. If I could do it all over again, I'd have found that balance. Another area. This is probably one of the largest percentage of a cause for divorce is money. I'm the sole provider for our home. I'm responsible for the income. So I also monitor the expenses. I still, as I think about it today, I don't know how I got hung up on this one. But when the budget needs to be tightened down, somehow we need to start with the groceries. Now, looking back, we never threw any of it away. I ate it. So why was that the area that she must be spending too much there? We need to crank this thing down. We need to tighten it down. Money's close. Watch the grocery budget. Then one day, I see a motorcycle that I got to have. Money's tight. Spending too much on groceries. At that instant, should have seen a red flag that said, look out, self. Gotta have this. You know, you can justify that too. Gas then was probably about $1.20 a gallon. High prices, gotta get something that gets better gas mileage. Justify it how I want to. Remember when I told her she was number one in my life? Gotta be careful here, because actions speak louder than words. So what did I do? Did I tell myself no, we're not getting a motorcycle? Mm-mm. I bought it, and then to settle the storm, I bought her and the boys plane tickets to Louisiana to go see Pam, something she had wanted to do a long time ago, but we didn't have the money. What happened to the tight budget? There's an area that if we'll take heed to it, if we'll go back to the days that we courted when the other was number one in my life, my desire, the thing that brought me the most happiness, was to see her happy. There's a couple verses I'd like for us to look at. Philippians. In the second chapter and the third verse, I'd like to apply this to our homes tonight. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's a guarantee for happiness, and it's a hard thing to consistently do throughout your life. There's another one that says close to the same thing. Romans, 12th chapter, and the 10th verse. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. This is the part I'd like for you to look at. In honor, preferring one another. That's the secret for a consistent, happy home. When I see times and it needs to raise the red flag that I want this no matter what it costs. Should it bring discord in the home? I want it. I'll take care of that afterwards. It's a red flag. It tells me that the respect that I had for the other, the love that I had for the other, something's happening to it, and I need to go back and check it. I have another area I'd like for us to look at. Business decisions. I am the provider. Made that decision back at the beginning. So I should be able to go out on my own and take business ventures because I'm the one that's to supply the income. I want to tell you, like others have said, I've been there, and I've done that, and I don't even want the t-shirt. It's got a cost to it, too great. I want to recommend to you, talk it over with your wife. Be agreed, because you know what? It's going to take some sacrifices. She's going to have to sacrifice too. There needs to be an agreement. Here's another time. Still hung up on things pretty tight around here. Watch the grocery budget. And then my dad comes along. Dad loves to sell things. He enjoyed that kind of thing. So he came along and said, "Dan, I just want you to go with me to listen to this sales talk." When I left there, I had signed up and bought $1,200 worth of Slick 50. Brought it home. Made the mistake of laying the checkbook on the counter while I went to put this stuff in the shop. You can do it. It'll cost you. I won't ever forget walking back in. Seeing her. Looking at the checkbook with tears in her eyes. Didn't say anything. That was even worse. To the men, we're the man of the house. We're the head. I can do it. And have good justification for it. It'll cost you. How do I reconcile that? Just been saying, we don't have money to go around. And now I've got this to explain. There's always enough for what I want. There's a warning here I'd like to give you. Enough of these incidents will chip away at the foundation of the love that she had for me when I told her she was number one in my life. You ever hear of silent divorce? We're not going to separate. It would look bad. And anyhow, there's children involved. So what is it? Two people living under the same roof. What's the solution? I'd like to, for a few minutes, talk to you about the solution. Because if there hadn't been one, I sure wouldn't want to get up here and tell you about the problems. The very first thing we've got to do, if we want to have a home like we had when it first started, as a man, I'm going to have to take responsibility for my actions. I'd like for us to take a look at how Adam did it. The third chapter of Genesis and the 12th verse. When God asked him about what he had done, the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." As a man, there's times when I want to be the head of the home. If we're not careful, there'll be times we want to pass the buck. As the man, let me learn to take responsibility when there's a problem. Because I'll tell you, this didn't just stop with Adam. It has a ripple effect. It affects the children. You remember Cain when he killed his brother and God came to talk to him? Cain didn't take responsibility either. He had learned it well. I need to remember that my children are watching. Cain's response was, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Don't know what happened to him. Instead of saying, "I'm sorry, I did it." That's what Adam should have done. Another thing, if I want to change, is as Revelations, the second chapter, tells me, you left your first love. This, the family studies that we've been having for months now, maybe, is trying to give us instruction how to take back some ground, how to keep from losing some ground in different areas. What I'd like to tell you tonight is ground can be gained back. It's going to start with the man taking responsibility. There's a song. I've changed it a little bit for tonight. If thou wouldst have the wife God gave you from heaven, that's what every one of us that are married said, you're an angel from heaven. If thou wouldst have the wife God gave you from heaven, walk by thy side from the morn till the even. There's a rule that each day you must follow. Humble yourself. After this taking responsibility, as a man of the home, I'm going to have to learn humility. If I want my children to learn it, I'm going to have to teach it by example. All through this time, I had a desire. This wasn't like it happened all the time, but it was enough times and enough wasted days that I said, this isn't what I want. I don't want this up and down. I'm losing days. I'm wasting time. I've had the taste of when we're close together, of being friends. That helped me that God intended it to be. I want to change. We went to Brother Stanley to get him to help us work on issues. That puts a pastor in a tough spot. Because what am I going to tell him? Here's my side. Here's the other side. Who's right? Who's wrong? She said, I said. Puts a pastor in a tough spot. Leaves him trying to sift through the details. Prayed with us. I determined I'm going to do better. So then the Lord stepped in. And he said, Dan, I've got your solution. You need to die to self. Sanctification? Oh, yeah. Long time ago I went in for that. Remember the time? That was the initial experience. Sanctification was intended to work on these other areas too. Because those areas were a time when self rose up. Had I been able to know it, had I known what I know today and crucified self again, there's a place where Paul talks about dying daily. There's going to be things come up that each day, as a man, I'm going to have to make decisions. What's important to me? Is the happiness of my home important enough that I'm willing to die to myself? There's a verse, I'd like for us to look at it, in John 12 and 24. It says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. I think about that in a home. I'm the head of the home. Except I'm willing to die, I abide alone. Maybe in these areas, I can justify myself, come out of it feeling like I won the battle, but I lost the war. That desire I had for a happy home, just swapped it out. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. That verse is really for all of us. But I found out something. It's for the man. If I'm not careful, in my home, I can be abiding alone. Maybe we're both still in the same house. Got my way. But I'm abiding alone. That verse doesn't stop there. There's results. There's rewards of dying. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. The fruit I'm talking about tonight is a happy home. Outside of salvation, there's nothing more important. Whether or not there's a happy home, a stable home, takes in more than just the man and the woman. It has a rippling effect. It will determine eternal destiny for our children. Something to be real careful about. When the Lord revealed it to me, and I died, you remember Peter, when the Lord told him, I want you to follow me. He looked around and said, okay, what about this one over here? What you going to tell him to do? In our home, we're going to have to make up our mind. I'm going to die. Nothing else matters. I'm going to die. When I did that, more happiness than I ever realized was possible. Return to the home. There are some verses in Ephesians. As a man, should I choose, I can pick out some of these and separate them and try to use them on my wife. It's got a high cost with it. Here's one of them. Ephesians 5 and 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I can pick that out. I can say, here it is, look at it. Wife is telling you, let the wives be subject to me in all things. I can drill that. There's another one in the 33rd verse that I can use. Down at the end of it, I can even leave the first part out, just pick up the end. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Here's your job. Start on it. Those verses were given as a result of something else happening. And that was in the 25th verse. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church, to the point that he gave himself for it, made the supreme sacrifice. If I want these other things to happen, I'm going to have to be the one to start it. I think about even in this meeting, Brother Danny Adams preached a message to us along this same line. I appreciate the messages that Brother Danny gives. I don't know what you'll think about this, but to me, his preaching reminds me of Cracker Barrel, the restaurant. It's home cooking. You drive up there, here's the rocker on the porch. Food, like, you know, their intention is it's food like it was cooked at home. Brother Danny Adams comes right down to home cooking. Tells you, here's your answer. And he's able to tell us because he's proved it in his life. He had something to say in that. He said, I want you to try this in your home. Treat your wife to the point that she'd be ashamed not to respect you. That we take charge. We wanted it. Wanted to be the head of the home. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. I'm almost finished. The third verse, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. I can pick out just that one point and hammer it. There'll be a cost. What I need to realize is there's a head that's over me. And I need to do as Christ did for me. He gave himself. Here's our chance to be the leader. The head of the woman is the man. Let me be the first to die to myself and see what happens from it. I've got a verse of a song that I'd like to close with. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow. Of the blessings for which we have prayed. I want a happy home. It's so important to me. I want a happy home. The blessings for which we have prayed. Here's the answer. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid, happiness will then come. I desire your prayers.